Welcome to The Feast Life, where we empower you, the modern homeschool mom, to create a life and homeschool you love, one founded on faith, family, freedom, and fun. I'm your host, Julie Ross, creator of the award-winning homeschool curriculum, A Gentle Feast, and a certified Christian life coach. For more information on today's episode and to access my free gift for you, check out thefeastlife.me. Charlotte Mason once said, life should be all living, not a mere tedious passing of time. So on this show, we seek to savor the feast of life. Girl, grab your favorite beverage and pull up a chair. You are welcome at this table. Are you feeling isolated as a homeschool mom in the middle years? Well, you're not alone. In today's episode, I sit down with Tricia Vong, better known as Juicebox Homeschool, to discuss the joys, challenges, and unique dynamics of homeschooling middle and high schoolers. So if you're looking for some encouragement, relatable insights, and actionable tips, this is the conversation you've been waiting for. Welcome to the Feast Life Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Ross, and I am so excited today to be joined by Tricia Vong. You may know her more, though, as Juicebox Homeschool on Instagram. We're going to be talking about homeschooling in the middle years, which I'm so excited to have somebody to talk to about this subject, because I feel like when you have little kids, like, you can go on play dates, or you go to the park, and you have other moms to talk to. But once they get to be, like, middle school and beyond, and you're running around in your car half the day, you don't really ever get to talk to other moms sometimes. Do you feel like that?
Yes, definitely. I feel like once you, like you were saying with the younger years, I've loved so much like doing co-ops and just being with other moms all the time. And we have so many similarities and our kids just play together so easily. I think when you get to the middle school and even now high school, I have a daughter in high school too. Yes, I feel like we have had to change a lot of things. I feared I would have to change a lot more than I did, but the transition is very real. And not only are the kids changing, but their friends are changing and the families are changing. I think the culture is changing. So there's a lot to wrestle with.
Yeah. So this is going to be a juicy conversation. I love it. Get a juice box. But okay. So before we dive in, can you just tell a little bit to everyone just about your homeschool journey and what you do and all that?
Sure. I didn't know I was going to homeschool like many of you. I started with a girlfriend who was starting to homeschool her. She had three kids, but starting to homeschool her oldest. And that was new to me. I didn't have any other friends that homeschooled. So I had no familiarity with how it would work.
Yeah,
I was very interested in what she was doing, and I shadowed her often before my daughter even reached kindergarten age. But as we approached preschool, I had her in a preschool twice a week for 3 hours, which was such a waste because by the time I drop her off, I can only run one errand and then I have to run back to pick her up. But so that was good, though. It was very fun for her. It was good for me to see how a preschool operates. And the more I got to see how my friend homeschooled kindergarten and first grade, I started to realize how just what an opportunity it was. I think I thought kindergarten is not required in our state. And so I can do it risk-free, give it a try. Yeah. And no one has to know if I totally fail. So we dove in with kindergarten, and I had a two or 2.5 year old also at the time. So that was a little bit of a jump right in, and it felt like a lot in the very beginning, but I did everything by the book. I did the whole box curriculum and followed the instructor manual as closely as possible. And that was probably, part of me thinks I wish I could say I could change how I did it and just go be a lot more flexible and take advantage of the perks of homeschooling. But I think that was just the way that God had for me. And it really helped me. I'm very structured. I need that structure to feel good about it. So I think that was a good intro to me for getting into homeschooling.
I think that's great, because I think a lot of people start out that way and it's just, oh, I wish I could go back into like whatever, but like realizing that's part of it's a journey. It's not like, we're all going to start with whatever day one, like we all have our own unique path. But, and as we grow and change and our kids grow and change, like we should be changing what we're doing and changing our approach. And there's so much more out there. I feel like too, like, I was in the dark ages. Like I didn't know what I was doing because there was nobody to tell me what to do. That's all there was, big box curriculum. Right. A Yahoo group that I found about Charlotte Mason. Like, there wasn't anything else.
Yeah, so I think the handholding was just great for what I needed in that season. Following things to a T, checking the boxes. Yes.
Yeah, and so how old are your kids now?
My kids are now, so my oldest, I have a daughter, 15-year-old daughter, just 13-year-old son, and a 10-year-old daughter.
Okay. So let's dive into this, the fun middle years here, okay? So what do you feel like is the greatest benefit of homeschooling at these ages?
Currently, there's so many things at this age. I've been able to see it through the seasons, but as we're getting into these older years, I would call it, I feel like we're able to, they've built up this collection of experiences in their life now, and we're involved in different communities. So they have their friend groups and things. And so they're able to pull those examples into our discussions. So when we're around the table, or when we're doing family studies all together, it's so nice that it's not just me sharing my examples of life of how I can relate to this verse or whatever. They all have contributions and friends that they can pull from. Yeah, their life. It's been really rich.
Yeah, the discussions are definitely better because they are more mature, right? And they do have more experiences, like you're saying, to draw from. And it's not, I don't know what this is. This doesn't make any sense. But then again, like they're like, oh, I learned about something similar years ago. Now I have more to draw from and to be able to contribute to the conversation. I think a lot of people breathe like a sigh of relief almost of, oh, they can actually do work independently now. So talk a little bit about how that experience has been for you of releasing some of that learning toward to them as they've gotten older.
Yeah, I think that I feel like some curriculum does a really great job of like shifting us into that next season. And so that has been helpful to find those little like gems. But yeah, I think after they learn to read and learn to read well and understand what they're reading, that really changes things. And it changed a lot in our homeschool, where they were able to do a lot of their work independently. They were able to read and then process it on their own and then discuss it with us or with me afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really changed a lot. I do start introducing like a few online courses once they get to some levels that I'm not the right person to teach for math, especially. Yeah. That has been helpful. And then I noticed that there's some like a different level of accountability with online teachers that my kids respect, which is so like hard for me to.
I know, like, right?
I'm important too, but they definitely don't want to fail those assignments. And they, I feel like there's a growth, there's a little bit of a negative look on maybe online or classes or shifting too much outsourcing, but I see a lot of benefit in that too, of how they're able to meet someone else's expectations and almost like a work experience, like a work environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Work together. Yeah.
Yeah. You said something about people have a negative view of that. What do you think that is?
Of online courses? I don't know. I just get a sense of maybe it's like younger homeschoolers. They don't want to expose their kids to
like
too much
the tech. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate the waters of screen time for school versus other screen time, but also the benefits of not being on it? I feel like once you get to middle school, especially high school.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to escape it. It's there, people. Okay. So what do we do about it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Early on in our homeschool, we started taking out, not doing like entertainment forms of screen time during the week. So Monday through most Fridays, but Monday through Thursday was like, we didn't do any TV, movies, or anything like that, just because, not that anything's wrong with that, but I feel like it changed a lot of their focus and they were able to just, it was never a question they would ask. It was off the table. So they already knew like Monday through Thursday, we work really hard. Friday, we do school. It's a little bit more fun. We sometimes have a field trip or a group activity. And then maybe Friday night, we'll go to the cousin's house and they'll watch a movie or something. But they just knew that, I think once they knew that was not an option for entertainment screens, and it just became a norm in our home. And we're able to focus on what we need to get done. Yeah. And so I think it just carried on into now, middle school and high school, same thing. We don't do screens Thursday. And then, but they do their online courses and they do some educational type of screen things. But it's been good. I think there's a healthy level. And even with the cell phone, I don't know when, did your kids have cell phones? I feel like that's such a huge, it just, as time progresses, it just becomes even more normalized at a very young age. So we held off.
I waited till mine was driving.
Oh, okay.
Like that to me that you need one. I had to hitchhike once on the side of the road because my car broke down. I don't ever want to happen. It's a different world than it was back then, but still you need a phone. But then also like at some point, and I've seen this with my college kids, like at some point I'm not going to be there standing over their shoulder. Right. So they need to learn, like, how can I balance this with my life? And I don't let them get on certain apps till they're, when they're out of the house, obviously they can do whatever they want, but before they're 18, but like just to be able to have the phone, but also teaching them like, okay, what are healthy boundaries for this? And how do we navigate the things that are going to bombard you when you are on this? And I want to be there to still teach them that, not when they're out of the house.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you felt this way when your kids were younger, but I felt like I could stay ahead of the curve, like of what they're about to learn, what season they're about to walk into a lot easier. And now I feel like I can't keep up. I can't stay ahead of it. I'm like,
I told my daughter that I'm like, can we hire like an IT person just for the devices? I feel like this is, I figure one thing out and then there's this other thing. And I'm like, but that's the world. Everything is happening. AI is all happening so fast now. Right. Is that what you're talking about? Or you're talking about like their developmental seasons?
All of it. All of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It starts to happen very fast.
Yeah. I think things just really speed up and there's so many, the world is opened a lot more. And so they're able to, my daughter will bring home topics like, oh, what do you think about this? Can I get this app? And I have to do a lot of research into that. Yep. Or can I go to this place with this friend alone? Mm-hmm. And all these things that I feel like my husband and I are coming together often and, you know, okay, what do we do about this? Like we've never encountered this before. So yeah, there's just a lot of that.
Yeah. And it's not like I've never encountered this before potty training. It's I've never encountered this before, but there can be like big life consequences based on whatever I say, like in this situation. So it becomes a lot more like high stakes, I feel like sometimes.
Yes.
But also realizing that is the journey. Like that is part of the process, is they have to try and fail and grow. And I can't protect them from everything all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of stress and pressure too to put on your plate, but it doesn't get a little easier when they're out of the house. So, okay. I don't know what's happening, but I think it's good. Okay.
Out of sight.
Yeah. And I like, what's just the pressure to monitor everything. And like, also that I didn't realize how much time that was taking until they were gone. And I'm like, oh, I don't have to think about that anymore. Like, can I go here with this? Like, it's a lot of just mental effort on a regular basis. And then just what they're going through is a lot more emotional than like, I feel like the younger years are very physically draining because you're up and around and you're carrying these babies and you're doing these things that they're like, teenagers are emotionally draining. Because they want to talk to you and the things are really big and you feel all these like emotions that come up and it's like, oh, and then they're emotional.
Yes.
As well.
This season is I'm all over the place. And I feel as much as I want to communicate the challenges of it, how hard it is emotionally for myself and for my daughter, and my son is now 13, but because the truth of it is there's so many challenges, like you're saying, and trying to stay steady for them, a safe place, someone that can handle what they want to share or handle their emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. It's really hard. I feel like I have to grow up a lot and mature and try to stay stable sometimes an unstable season.
Yeah. Have you found anything particularly that helps you with that?
With staying stable, I feel like homeschooling is a benefit in that we're able to have the time. I think my kids are very involved in dance right now, and they've been dancing for years and on a competitive team. And I tell this to them too, but we never could do this without homeschooling because I would never see them.
Yeah.
during the school hours, it's just us. And then we go off to after school hours. It's our ministries things. And as involved as they are and how much they love doing, following their passions. Yeah, I don't think that we'd be able to do that. So I really appreciate the time centered at home, not always just home, but home as in the family home. Yeah. Having time to stop, put aside science and have a deeper discussion because there's something going on.
Yeah.
A deep heart check. Just the benefit of that. I can't imagine how it is. Yeah. For families that have to rush off all the time and
Yeah, it definitely is one of the benefits that we can have that slow kind of pace and we can meet them or their needs. But then also because you're showing up for them on a regular basis, it's hard because they don't necessarily want you, but then they need you. So I tell people it's like the toddler years where it's like me too, but it's amplified because now they're teenagers and they're like, I don't need you. Your whatever you say is like totally irrelevant and you don't know anything. But then will you come cuddle with me? It's like they I need you, but I don't want to need you. And I'm like, that's normal because they have to differentiate them. They're going to be leaving. They need to differentiate themselves from you, just like a toddler has to differentiate themselves. They're not a baby anymore. But that period is woo.
Yes. I feel like one thing that helps also is just I'm constantly reading something about these years.
That's
and I
really
think that
great.
Helps me to stay in the mind frame of what you just shared, remembering where they're at and all the things that are all the changes and hardships that they're enduring inside. Because it's easy to forget. They look like an adult. The size of an adult. So my assumption is like, why are you acting like crazy?
Yeah.
But
right.
reading, keeping that in mind of maybe where they're at.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. Do you have a blog post or something we could link to with some of those suggested books?
Oh, I will send you something.
Okay.
I
think or just you... send me a list of a couple we could put in the show notes. I think that would be great.
Because
I do think that's really good to get your perspective because to realize, oh, wait, this is actually normal. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. This isn't like a crisis. This is what is developmentally supposed to happen. It does give you some reassurance, but it also gives you like empathy for them and all the things that are happening in their lives. And then what a blessing it is that you can walk alongside them in that. But when we don't think it's normal or when we want to control it, it's when those power struggles come into play. And it gets a lot harder at this age to have those than when it's like a toddler. No, you can't have that toy. No, you can't hit your sister.
Yeah, exactly. And one of my favorites is Paul David Tripp's The Age of Opportunity. That even just the title, I love the framing of this season as an opportunity for discipleship. And I think, even reading though, I should say this, it is hard. Even when I read though, I'm arguing with the author in my head. Like, how can we, it's such a take this, whatever they give you, your teenager, and then forgive them right away because they need to talk to you. They need to have you there for them as a rational person. So it's a whole, but it does help me like to just try to implement some of those things and have compassion with understanding.
Yeah. And to give yourself the grace to go, you're not going to get this perfect.
Exactly. No.
And you're going to have to apologize. And that actually is part of the process too.
Yes. My daughter actually recently, we were having a talk. So I do read one-on-one with my kid too, with my teen, because there's so much out there about reading aloud, how beneficial that is with your kids. But I found a few books that kind of triggered this, but I thought it would be great to, if I can make time to read with just my teenager, one-on-one books that are more relevant to where she's at and might not relate to my younger kids. So I started that when she was in middle school, and then my husband, I encouraged him to start that with my son as well.
Okay, that's
so
great.
That's what we've been doing. But in one of our discussions, she was very honest with me and gently told me that she would appreciate less lectures from me. And I feel like I just laughed because I didn't expect it
Charlotte
at all.
Mason would say the same thing. No. Right?
Exactly. Like
oh,
less,
so funny.
Yeah. Kind of just laughing at first. I didn't know how to react. But I also then thought how it's a good thing. Like all these challenges are also can be framed as a good
of
thing.
Of course, absolutely.
Just that she felt safe enough to be able to say that. I know that would be hard to say to anyone. I think that reading aloud together and reading together like one-on-one has opened the door for that. And just kind of it gives us that dedicated time alone, one-on-one and intimacy.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So do you still do anything with all of them together at this age?
Yeah, we still do family studies. I really worried that wouldn't be possible at this stage, knowing that with high school, her course load is pretty heavy. And so my hope was to keep it going. So I scheduled her online classes from 9 a.m. and on, just so that we could have that 8 to 9 to still commune together and study
Yeah.
together. So it's not, we're not doing science together anymore. We're not doing subjects that we used to do all together, which
Yeah.
was like some of the best days, but we are still meeting together and doing a Bible study. We'll do
That's cool.
subjects that you can, I feel like in the younger years, it's expose them to everything. You have a really great morning time guide. It's expose them to things that you maybe normally wouldn't, but all the Charlotte
Right.
Mason riches. And it's such a wide feast. And I feel as you get to middle and high school, you can tailor that more to, they start developing and understanding their own passions and you can tailor it to that. So we've picked and selected things that are, yeah, according to what they
Can you give me like an example?
of what we're studying. So my
Like
son's
that's tailored to,
to what
you're
they're
talking about like
interested
in
in.
morning time.
Yeah, so our family studies are not just, yes, to what it used to be where we would follow curriculum, or so it's more selective. And I feel like I do have to be really selective because our time is limited to that hour. So we do a Bible study together. We're going through Proverbs, so we'll do that together. And that seems to be a good book, like for all of us right now, where we're all able to, even my youngest can participate. And then we are doing a worship study.
Today's episode is brought to you by A Gentle Feast. A Gentle Feast offers a complete living books curriculum, an award-winning early reading program, and more tools to equip you to apply Charlotte Mason's timeless philosophy into your modern homeschool. Go to agentlefeast.com to check it out. Smooth and easy days are closer than you think.
So my middle school son had this, I don't know, in sixth grade, he just really, his mind opened up to music and he really is passionate about that. He had been taking an online piano course, but asked if he can have an in-person teacher. And it's just rare for my kids to ask for something like that to go deeper into a skill. So he's doing that now. And his goal is to be on a worship team in high school
That's
ministry.
awesome. Yeah.
Really into that. And so I found a worship study. So we're just
Oh,
doing,
cool.
studying
Yeah.
different
That
worship
makes sense.
songs.
Yeah.
We're doing, my oldest daughter is doing ASL, American Sign Language, as
Oh,
we
mine
learn.
is too. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Actually,
So,
I had two daughters who did that.
oh, nice. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really fun. But because we live in California, there's a benefit to learning Spanish too. So we're doing a beginning Spanish altogether, just because no
Okay.
one has a knowledge of that yet. And then we'll still do a read aloud. And even that,
Okay.
I'm having to be selective of what is a book that can grasp all of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually missionary story, but
Yeah, that's a
love
great
those.
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think it gives you an opportunity because you're right. Like when they get to be older, one, they need more sleep. So I've had to push morning time back through the years. And then, or if they work or they have a job, or to get that time is really precious. And I've even brought in different things now that I only have high schoolers now. And one of the things we're talking about in morning time is finances. And so I'm trying to bring in some more like practical things as well during our morning time, because it is the time where we're all together. And I'm like, okay, you guys need to know this stuff. This stuff is important. Here's how you make a budget. And then if you're talking about a book to read to everybody, are you familiar with Bob Goff?
Yeah.
So he wrote Love Does. And we've been reading that this year. I cry every chapter. They're like, oh, here she goes again. But like, because it's these little short stories, and his stories are amazing and they're so cool. And I jumped off this mountain and I did this thing. But Africa is like the coolest story. So it definitely gets everyone's attention. But I just love his heart and his message. So we've had some really good conversations. And then with the election, we brought in some, I brought in books about like, how do we elect a president? Or the
So
one we
good.
read was, are you liberal, conservative, or confused? And so to be able to bring in different things that are topical, but also what they're interested about, I think is so important. Yes, we still have that wide feast and they have had that exposure, but as they get older, if your time is really precious, to really gear things a little bit. And so one of the things I was talking about was just using this as an opportunity to teach them some of these life skills, because they need them for life. So how do you bring that in into what you're doing with your kids? Do you do that in morning time? Do you do that in the afternoons? Yeah.
So for the family, I really want them to learn how to do their own Bible study and just take accountability for their own walk with the Lord. So I think that's always been a priority throughout homeschooling and just advancing them throughout their years, growing in independence in that way. I think in middle school, I start them on their own individual Bible study so that we do that before our family studies, and then we'll come together and do Proverbs together. Even my youngest started a individual Bible study. Actually, she's fourth grade, but she's able to read and write and do all the things, so she can handle that on her own. I don't know why the youngest is just pulls up with everyone else. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
very competitive. Wants
they don't
to
want to
keep
be left behind.
Yes, exactly. And I think for life skills, yeah, it's such a great, that's another thing with homeschooling is, yeah, you're able to do focus on the things that you find valuable in your life and find that you want them to have and equip them for their future. Two of the things that I try to prioritize is managing money, like you're saying, and managing your time. I think those two things, just biblically too, it's just there's so much to work with in there, and there's so many things that can tie us up and bring us down. We're trying to do that. I start them on, yeah, like a system with the save, spend, and give. And then they're able to, the hardest part for me was really letting go, because as you're trying to teach them the life skills, that was hard for me, like to actually let them launch and make mistakes and use their money and their time in ways and practice with that. Yeah.
That might not be so great. Oh,
exactly.
All my money's gone and I just got my allowance yesterday. What?
Right.
And now I want to go do this thing. Oh.
Yeah. It takes my, I need to tell myself often, don't say anything, like,
I told you, yeah.
Let them try. But it's been good. I think that, yeah, focusing on those two life skills and really focusing in on those have been good. I've always given them their own planner, and not just giving
and
it to
you're
them.
Like the planning queen, girl. I love your little
Oh,
planning
gosh.
Videos on Instagram. See,
You
you
know,
got the
it's so
planning stuff
nerdy.
down.
It's
I
so
love it
nerdy.
though. See, I got my highlight things right here.
Yeah, it just brings me a lot of joy. But for my kids too, and handholding them throughout, like how to start planning, and even first just following the plan. And that has helped a lot with in the younger years of, I don't know if you hear a lot of, okay, I'm done. What do I do next? What do I do next? And that used to bother me a lot, especially with three kids. And I think when they were able to follow their planner, then it was just, it opened the doors where they were just working, like work. And then they asked for a snack, and our homeschool rhythm was a lot smoother.
So did you write those plans out for them? And do they ever get to the point where they do it themselves? Or are you still
Yes.
writing them out at this age?
No. So early on, yeah, I was writing a lot in a lot of planners early on, but I kept telling myself, I know there's going to be good on the other side of this. There's going to be some fruit. And so slowly each kid, I would start writing less, and they know the staples that they have to do, and they know their books so well, what's next. So they started writing their core subjects. And then I would just write the things that we don't do every day, that they're not sure which day we're doing what for history or science or loop schedule. That was the next step. So middle school right now, my son is, I'm looking at his planner right now. You could tell the difference in writing. It's like his writing up top and then my writing on the bottom. And same with my youngest daughter. She's at the same stage right now. But my high schooler, she fills in her planner completely. I'll just look it over and make sure that she didn't forget anything. But it's so great. I think to be able to see her plan and how pretty it is and how she's able to really follow it and write down even her chores and her schedule. It's very encouraging for me to keep going with this.
Yeah, and I do encourage you in that, because my college age kids have told me, like, how many of their friends, they just don't know how to manage their time. They never, but because it's, you have to manage work and studying and hanging out with friends and going to class on a whole different schedule. It's not like you're in a building from 9 to 4 every day where everything was already planned out for you. And then most kids, they go and they do after school activities. Your whole entire waking hours are all planned for you. They never had to take the initiative to plan that out themselves, which I do feel like is one of the benefits of homeschooling, because they don't have the same classes every day. They may take a class online, and then they have a class at home, and then they have a work thing, and then they're volunteering. And it's a lot to manage. It's a lot for us as the homeschool moms to manage. And I get there like, how do I help them learn how to manage their time when I can't manage my time? I was like, okay, that's the first place to start, and doing your plan and following it, like you're saying, but then also giving them that freedom, because they are going to need to be able to do that. But we are giving them such valuable skills in that is going to help them later on. So it's not even the what of what we're teaching, but just having this time to help them manage all the different things at this age is going to really help them later on.
Yeah,
So keep
that's
on
good.
keeping on with the time management there. Do you have any particular reasons when it comes to like finances that you have found really helpful? Or is it like you give them an allowance in New York showing them all how to all do all that? Or what do you all use for that?
My kids, we're in LA, so my kids do a little bit of acting and they'll have jobs here and there, dance jobs as well. And so they'll earn money from that.
Yeah.
And I will give a very small portion of that to them so that
Yeah.
they can manage, and the rest of it I'll put away to their bank. But so they're able to earn from that. Also, I have a blog and a website. So my oldest daughter, I don't know, Pinterest is not my friend. I'm just so, like, I just can't get into it. Surprised, actually, but
It's really funny because
yeah.
I used to love Pinterest. Like when it first came out
Oh,
for myself,
okay.
like personally, I was always looking for decorating ideas or like
Yeah.
recipes. I feel like it's changed. So I don't use it at all either. So I feel you.
Okay. But people say you need to have Pinterest. So that was something I started early on when I had a blog, and then I just stopped completely because I couldn't get into it, and I couldn't hold myself accountable to keep up with it. So that was something that was always on my mind. Oh, maybe one day when I have more time. But my daughter loves Pinterest, and so she was searching for something one day, and it just hit me like, are you interested in learning how to run a Pinterest, like a business one? And so she started to, I had a course already that I had purchased. So I had taken that, but didn't really use it. So she ended up taking the course and then now can manage my Pinterest, which is such a
That is
blessing. So I
so
will pay
fun.
her for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
And
great.
she can manage money through that. She also does a little side work with our church. And so they pay her a little bit there. So it's nice. She has a little bit of income coming in from different places and then
Yeah, that's great.
manage it through that. Yeah, and this Christmas she felt it. She was like, she's invited to these like gift exchanges, and the dollar amount is this, and she's, oh my gosh, she just can't believe how expensive things are now.
That's 3 hours of work to pay for that. Yeah, like my kids
Exactly.
start doing that math in their head. Yeah. Which is what we
So
want, right? Yeah.
yeah, I want, yeah, the exposure to all of that has been really good.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, one last question. One of the things I know a lot of people struggle with, or they talk to me about with their middle school age children, is motivation. Do you have any thoughts on keeping the kids motivated, having them doing their work, all of that fun topic?
Like staying on top of what they need to get done.
Yeah, but also helping them be motivated, or they're not motivated to do the work, or they're not following through with what they're supposed to be doing, and all of that. So.
Yeah. So my oldest is, I don't need to think about that. She's very self-motivated. I think the online courses have really stepped up her game as far as she sees you get a grade, and our
Yeah.
it's so different. So she's very motivated in the grades and the making sure she completes everything and tries to do well, the extra credit and things like that. My second is a different story. So I can relate in that with my son. I find you become a student of your child as you're homeschooling. You start studying what kind of motivates them, what ticks them off, and you learn about all the things that make them who they
Yeah.
are. And that has really helped with my son. Sometimes I've had to switch curriculums more with him than anyone else just because it's just not the right fit. You can tell it's just not a right fit. And I think finding what lights him up, and right now it's music. There's certain things that I know he's also a competitive child. He likes to compete with my oldest daughter. So if she took the same course and she got an A, he definitely wants to get a higher A than that. There's like that motivation, and I'll take it. I don't encourage it, but I'll take that just so that he is like on fire. Yeah, I think encouraging. He does really well with words of affirmation. So encouraging him when he looking for those wins and highlighting them and really praising him for that, I think has been really a boost to him. I notice he, yeah, just puts a lot more effort into things when he finds, or when cursive back in the day, his handwriting was just like, oh no, what are we going to do here? But I would find, let's look at all your capital D's. And then when you bring it to me, I'm going to circle the one that I like the best. And then that just is something
Yes.
simple as
I
that,
used to do that with my son. Yep.
you know?
Yes, one of
So
these is really good.
there's, yeah. This is the best one. Yeah.
It's interesting because I was recording another interview this morning, and the lady, part of what she does is she studies like gender differences. And she was saying like boys are super competitive, especially I feel like in the middle and high school years. So harnessing that in a healthy way of what's your best one here, or can you get this grade for this class? And Charlotte Mason, obviously we live in a different time where we have to have grades for high school, but not making that necessarily the focus, but having that competition that can be healthy in a way for boys, it does motivate them.
Yeah.
But I do feel like during the middle of school and teenagers, like it's natural sometimes for them not to be motivated too, because their bodies, like my son grew 5 inches between his last doctor's appointment and this one. It was like 6 months.
Wow.
He's been eating everything. I'm like, oh, maybe you're tired. Maybe your brain is tired, because right now it's going to see, okay, not make it like a power struggle, but like what you're saying, get to know your child and what does encourage them, what does fill their bucket, and use that as a tool to meet them where they're at, but also to see, okay, this is normal, not as a free ticket, but how can we work with what we're dealing with here?
Right.
Yeah. That's so to wrap up, do you have any words of encouragement for moms as they are navigating these middle years?
Oh, I feel like this is such a precious season. I feel like it's a time that there's so much, like the book, there's so much opportunity, I feel, to build the relationship. And I think I've had to shift my mind from, okay, what do we need to get done today, to the relationships, because that becomes so almost, it's fragile to me because of your homeschooling. You spend so much time together. There's opportunity for good, but there's an opportunity for conflict. There's a lot more opportunity.
Oh,
for
yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. A lot more opportunity.
So, so I think I'm having to pick my battles, figure out what are the values of our home and our family? What are the things that I want them to leave home with them? What are the most important values that I want them to take away with them? What's really important? Having to filter through a lot of things in this season. And it's been, there's so many challenges, but it's all of them are for sanctification, and all of them are so 100%. Worthy of the time and the struggle. It's not easy. And I don't think anything worth doing is easy. This right. one is so worth the time and the investment. And I think I'm constantly working on things, but for right now it's working on the relationships and making sure that those are my priority instead of what I am more wired to think of is the to-do list and like productivity and get things done. Yeah. So making sure to love on them. And it's really easy to forget that they need those cuddles too. Like you're saying, as they're somewhat pushing away and then also bringing you back, that whole tug of war, but just always being, trying to be stable, the one that will always bring them in and forgive them and accept them and be willing, open-minded to all their crazy thoughts.
Yeah. No, I love that. That is beautiful. That is very good advice. Thank you so much. And how can people connect with you?
I do have a blog, juiceboxhomeschool.com, and I'm on Instagram and YouTube at juiceboxhomeschool.
Great. We will link all of that to the show notes. So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Let's wrap up with some key takeaways. Number one, prioritize relationships over productivity. Middle and high school years are a critical time to focus on relationships rather than just ticking off tasks. Build trust and create a safe space for open communication. Number two, foster independence gradually. Introduce tools like planners and age-appropriate responsibilities to help children grow in their ability to manage time, work, and life skills effectively. Number three, tailor learning to passions. Identify what excites your children, whether it's music, art, or hands-on projects, and incorporate those interests into your homeschool curriculum to spark motivation. Number four, set boundaries with technology. Manage screen time wisely by distinguishing between school-related and entertainment use. Create rhythms that support focus during the week while allowing for balance and connection. And number five, embrace this season as an opportunity. Middle years do bring challenges, but they also provide a unique opportunity for growth, discipleship, and preparing your children for real-life responsibilities. It is such a beautiful time and it goes by so fast. I hope today's episode has encouraged you as you homeschool your middle and high schoolers. Thanks for listening. Hey there, Julie Ross. Ross here. I just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's episode. If you like this show, it would mean the world to me if you would leave a positive review in iTunes. This really does help people learn about the podcast. And each month, I will pick a winner to receive a free gift. Don't forget to check out all the free resources we created for you at thefeastlife.me. Thank you.